Vieni všetci ročníci a pánu, ktorý je aj po pláni, po sebe, po sebe, a aj všetky, kde si ústri, ktorý je aj mým, alebo jenom všetkým slovom, ktorý si to aj zemí, po spáni, po sebe, 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 make us a means of and a source of guidance for others, a means of positivity in this world. I make special dua for my friend. I'm not sure if I want to change his name.
Rayan.
Rayan, mashallah. SubhanAllah. Makes me very happy this evening. I'm sitting here today. SubhanAllah. Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shower him with mercy. Keep him ever steadfast. Constantly increasing in man. His love for Rasulullah and his revelation. His goodness in this world, in his provision in this world, in wealth and family, and also on the grant of a pious wife, also the children, the goodness in this world, the goodness in the next world, the purity of heart, and beautiful khuluq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of us, to be by his very presence and his nature a source of da'wah, and just may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything beautiful. For him and for all of us. Allah guide all our friends that have not come to Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them to Islam. What a nice surprise. In the morning they could have come after the night of Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all our friends that have not connected to Islam. All our family members that have not connected to Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them accept Islam. Those that are living far from the guidance, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them close to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them and bring them close to Him. Our family members that are astray, ourselves that are possibly astray, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us and remove the sins from our lives. Make our objective be to please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May it be to emulate His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with love and with zeal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just shower us with His mercy, shower us with His mercy, and shower us with His mercy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Umi wa alayhi wa sallam, wa sallam. Fadhu tenaqa wa sallam, wa ta'ayyatu wa sallam, wa ta'ayyatu wa sallam, wa ta'ayyatu wa sallam. Today there's like one hadith pertaining to that, but the balance of them speak more of the ibadah of Rasulullah, the worship of Rasulullah. So it's a bit more serious, but at the same time, we saw something of Rasulullah's relationship with creation in the hadith of yesterday, in how he treated the small children, how he locked with him, joked with him, and consoled him. How he added value to the lives of people, those around him. How he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exuded positivity that we should try and emulate, and we should try and be a source of as well. Today we see his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll come to realize something after that. But we'll leave that for when we get there. First, it's hadith. And Jabir ibn Samurah, radiallahu anhu, qala, جالست النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من 100 مرة. I sat with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم more than 100 times. وكان أصحابه يتناشدون الشعر. يتناشدون الشعر. While his companions would be reciting verses of poetry. ويتذكرون أشياء من أمر الجاهلية. And they would be mentioning amongst them some of the matters of جاهلية. So they'd be reminiscing. They'd be reminiscing. وهو ساكت وربما تبسم معهم. He would be quiet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times he'd even give a smile with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that he wanted always to honor them. Soon after this, we're going to come to see how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There it wasn't plain and jokes. But here with these people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't extremely hardened. He allowed it to be. And that's, as we mentioned yesterday, that's something that endeared people to himself. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِهِ. If Rasulullah was harsh and hard-hearted, people would have dispersed from around him. But Rasulullah was soft. He was easygoing. He was just Affliction people could feel it, that love for themselves, or that love that emanated from themselves and others. So they would draw, they would disperse them, rather they would draw to themselves and others. You've heard some of the stories of the companions in the prior days, how they came to accept Islam. How Sayyidina Rasulullah was a source of inspiration from them. How we learned about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it joined, it elated him just to see the face of Rasulullah. So the fact that Rasulullah had this easy-going, soft character, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naturally endeared people to. And we must remember also, as a lesson from this hadith, we should also try and inculcate that in ourselves. Oftentimes it's easy to do that outside of the house. We're going to come to read about more of the household life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's something very important, I think I'll just mention it here. And oftentimes we find it easy to have that easygoing personality outside of the house. With other people that we maybe just meet in passing every day, or it's just in the workplace, whatever. But then when we get home, now I can't joke anymore. Now I somehow become tired. You know, the boss puts pressure on me at work, and I come home and I put pressure on everybody else at home. And people's lives are stifled, children are always scared, wife is living on edge. That's something that we should really do away with. When we become soft people, that softness should start at our homes. To our families, if you want to joke, firstly joke with your wife. Joke with the children. You'll see you'll have a jolly home, and from a jolly home, a wholesome environment in your living place, then everything else becomes naturally more easy. You know, the trials that life throws at you just become easy. And I can only imagine what a pleasant thing it must have been to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home, if this is how he treated people outside of his home. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't like us. He wasn't like us in that we show something outside, but we're differently in our private spaces. No, he's also going to be better in his private space. So that's something we must learn. Yes, Rasulullah was soft and very compassionate and things like that. But just as a side note, I am saying that compassion and that softness must start in our homes. You see, sometimes we try and we think to have an impact in the world, you know, to change the world, but we forget to change the condition of our own household. We get to sweep on our own doorstep. So we must imbibe all of these things within our character, starting with the people who are most vulnerable to our harmful traits. And that is those people who live with us, our wife, our children, and our family that extends from there. Generally, people find it much easier to have respect and obedience to their parents, I think. I should hope so. Sometimes they feel that they can be a tyrant with their spouses and they're like, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. So your joking must start there. I think Mullah Khalil mentioned something about your words yesterday. He was mentioning something about words. So if you have jokey words and you have lots of lines and sweet charms and sweet things or whatever, use that magic at home, isn't it? Use that magic at home. Inna minal bayan la sihra. Some speech can be magic. Whether it's this in Ramadan or after Ramadan, you must do this. That's why you fast.
Allahumma, O Allah, bismika, with your name, bismika, O Allah.
Sondern Unionen ermutigt wo einer. Do I die and do I come to life? Unionen, do I die and do I come to life? You're going to sleep in the fact that you have like a minor death in your sleep. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you life again in the morning and you wake up. Oftentimes, needless about the fact that we have a minor death at night when we go sleep. What guarantee we have that we're going to wake up in the morning? It's only the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allows us that. But similarly, in this life as well, we will die and we hope to die with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a real person. And then we will be resurrected. Be resurrected with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul says in another hadith, يُبَعْثُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ يُبَعْثُ كُلُّ أُمَّتِي عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ All of my ummah, they will be raised upon that which they died on. يُبَعْثُ كُلُّ أُمَّتِي عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ يُبَعْثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ Every slave will be resurrected upon that which he died on. So you will be resurrected in the state that you die. That's why when you go sleep, you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you die at that time, you'll be resurrected as someone who died taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you'll be resurrected, naturally you'll be resurrected taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it also teaches us something that we should constantly be watchful of our actions. We should constantly ask our questions, would I like to die doing this thing? Would I like to die doing what I'm doing? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. Yes, also teaches us again, like he taught us with eating, starting with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ending with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us when going to sleep, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa idha istayqadha, and when you woke up, qala alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up, he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. All praise belongs to Allah. All gratitude belongs to Allah. The one who gave us life, ba'da ma amatana, after he had caused us death, wa ilayhi nushur, and to him we will be eventually resurrected. And eventually to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be resurrected. Again, the lesson is the same as before. With the eating, Rasulullah did the same thing. Start with the name of Allah. At the end of that action, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the lesson we learned from that the last time? How necessary is sleeping? Sleeping is something you're going to do. Just like eating, you have to do it. You're going to die if you don't do it. You're going to die if you don't do it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and taught us how to work such mundane things, such normal things, such things that we do without thinking, he came to make them meaningful things, things that connect us to the hereafter. We do them with a purpose. We sleep so that we can be, not for the sake of sleeping, just because I want to sleep. Because sleeping can also be a bad thing when you're doing it in excess. But now I'm sleeping for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sleeping with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will sleep to the extent that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that it invigorates me, that I may wake up another morning, that I may pray my salah, that I may go out and work, I may have strength to do my task, I may fulfill my responsibilities. My sleeping even has a purpose, it's not meaningless. And if your eating is not meaningless, and your sleeping is not meaningless, then what act in life should be meaningless? What act in life should be meaningless? I mean, these are not even our ibadah. They become ibadah when we're doing them in this manner. But naturally, our minds move immediately. When I think of ibadah, we think, okay, I'm going to go take a nap. Let's go to our ibadah. You generally don't think, okay, I'm going to go take a nap now. But such mundane things can be meaningful forms of ibadah when done taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to an extent that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه قال صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله يا ولد صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم performed صلاة This is referring about or this is speaking to or speaking about or referring to super erogative players, extra players, like we performed the 100 salah in the night, extra salah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray, he would make salah to such an extent, حَتَّنْ تَفَخَتْ قَدَمَهُ, until his feet, his dutiful feet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until they would swell. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how much he would perform salah. But remember who we're talking about here. So, فَقِيلَ لَكُمْ to say to him, أَتَتَكَلَّفُ هَذَا وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would you take this burden upon yourself? Would you exert yourself to such an extent? Despite the fact that all of your sins, what had gone by before and what is yet to come, has been forgiven. In fact, Rasulullah was ma'asum, he didn't sin. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even had he sinned, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of it would have been forgiven. If everything's forgiven, what must we be forgiven for now? So he was asked, will you take this burden upon yourself? Will you exert yourself to this extent? Despite the fact that all of your sins are forgiven, we have other sins to be forgiven for. But the half an hour tahajjud is sometimes tired. But even the half an hour tahajjud, just getting up and making wudu seems daunting. And but Rasulullah says, despite the fact that all of his sins were forgiven, meaning that he's not going to Jannah, there's no possibility of that. He is going to Jannah. In fact, he's guaranteed already the highest ranks in Jannah. So, despite all of that, he still makes salah to the extent that his feet swell up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how long does it take for your feet to swell up? You have to be standing a long time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is his response? Look how beautiful his response is. And this again speaks of the inside of Rasulullah, of his internal being, his khuluq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? قَالَ أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful slave? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we learn from the joking of Rasulullah, we learn from the laughing of Rasulullah. But Rasulullah was first and foremost, he was the Rasul of Allah. He came to teach us all of these facets of our deen. He came to teach us how to make ibadah, how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came to connect the hearts of people, to disconnect them from the worship of those other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the worship of the creator of creation. This is the most important lesson for us to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How his relationship was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can strive and we can strive and we can strive to get there. In the knowledge that my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't match his. Can't even come close to his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I can try. And Allah just wants me to try. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. Fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, with all those deep meanings that my Allah spoke about last night, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Allah just wants me to try. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his effort in praying to such an extent that his feet swelled. His feet became swollen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his reason for doing that was, it wasn't because I want to get something. It wasn't because I need the forgiveness, like we need the forgiveness. It was just, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Allah has given me so much. Allah has done everything. Allah subhanahu. Despite all the challenges that he went through, the hardships in his life, the fact that he was exiled by his people, the fact that he was plotted against by the Jews of Medina, the fact that everyone was trying to kill him, everyone was trying to get rid of him, so on. Despite all of it, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful slave? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's so cold that he comes to my cancer. وكيف يدرك في الدنيا حقيقة. You know, we read these things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we just, you know, sometimes I don't think we can fathom it. I can't fathom it again. How he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the poet says, Al-Imam Musayyib says, وكيف يدرك في الدنيا حقيقة. How can we really get the reality of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? قَوْمٌ نِيَامٌ تَسَلَّوْا عَنْهُ بِالْحُمْدِ. A people that are sleeping, and in their sleep, in their dreams, they look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shouldn't think that by reading the hadith, we have truly encompassed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is more beautiful than we can imagine. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عائشة رضي الله عنها نرثت بالرحمة صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا لم يصلي بالليل كان إذا لم يصلي بالليل منعه من ذلك النوم. When رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم would not pray at night due to the fact that sleep prevented him from that أو غلبت عيناه or his eyes had overcome him and he had slept صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى من النهار 12 ركعة. Then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would make that up by performing 12 ركعات in the day. Imagine this is nafl salah. This is extra. If you miss it, it's extra. But even that extra Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم compensate for by praying 12 ركعات in the day. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understanding. We're supposed to learn from this. We're supposed to try and fashion our ibadah on the ibadah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, don't overdose that. That's to kill yourself. But maybe, okay, Rasulullah should pray 12 in the day. Okay, I'll start off with 2 and then I'll try and bother. The time of Duha. After Ishraq, until a bit before, the sun reaches zenith. Until the sun reaches zenith. In that period of time, pray to the supernatural prayers. Like I said, don't overdose, start to smoke. We're going to get to a hadith about that as well. Even in the night, we're reading now 4 rak'ahs for half an hour. Maybe even a bit longer, 50 minutes, whatever, however long it takes. But don't let it be that after Ramadan, there's no mention that these things are happening in Ramadan. This is just normal. This is just normal resources. Right? So after Ramadan, we must have the intention to continue what we're doing. Maybe not to the same extent. It's going to be hard, you can't live in Atika. But, you know what, I at least have an intention that every night I'm going to try and wake up and make 2 rak'ahs. If I can't wake up in the middle of the night, then you know what, just before Fajr I'm going to wake up 10 minutes earlier and I'm going to make 2 rak'ahs before Fajr. If I can't do that, I know I'm going to oversleep, you know what, just before I go sleep, I'm going to make 2 rak'ahs. If I can't do that, when I just finish making a shalai, I'm still in the mode of making a shalai, and I already have a dua, and I have to make another wudu, then I'm going to start to make 2 rak'ahs. Right? With the intention of Allah, I want to emulate my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to become like him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that I can also become more beloved. SubhanAllah. Right? And Aisha radiallahu anha qala, Aisha radiallahu anha said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في آية من القرآن ليلة. عائشة رضي الله عنها said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم would stand in salah in the night reciting one verse of him. He would stand the entire night reciting one verse of him. SubhanAllah. That speaks of his understanding of the verses that were revealed to him صلى الله عليه وسلم. That speaks of his he's tadabbur, he's pondering on the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's engaging with the meaning of those verses of the Quran. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stand an entire night in prayer with one verse of the Quran. Because that verse would affect him so much sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would just repeat that verse and repeat it. And repeat it. That teaches us something as well. Firstly, the first thing we come to know is Rasulullah was this amazing person. From the end of this hadith, we come to learn that Rasulullah, his ibadah was unmatched. Try as you might, you can't reach him. But try. But try still, despite the fact that you know you can't do it like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just try. And even if you can do it the same like in quantity, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the quality was something else. The quality was something else. But we should still try. And so, we learn 2 things here. Rasulullah was amazing. In his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was just amazing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we come to see the inside of Rasulullah. You know, in your house, in the night, when nobody watches you,
There's no incentive for you to do things if your incentive is not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless you're going to go out and speak about it the next day. But then you spoil everything that you've done. Then there's no use speaking about it. But what happens in your house in the night when everybody's sleeping and only Allah sees you, what can your incentive possibly be? I want to express my ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm a good slave. I want to be what I am. And I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a slave is a good slave when the slave pleases his master. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us his good slaves. And Aisha radiallahu anha ta'ala. لم أرى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم في شهر أكثر من صيامه لله في شعبان. عائشة رضي الله عنها says that I didn't see Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم fast more in any month than he fasted for Allah سبحانه وتعالى in the month of شعبان. كان يصوم شعبان إلا قليلا. It was as if he would fast just a few days less than the entire month of شعبان. And then she says, but rather, كان يصوم كله. You know, in fact, you would fast the entire month of شعبان. Imagine that. We fast the entire month of Ramadan. Now I think I'm an angel, subhanAllah. Rasulullah said, we fast شعبان the entire month. Did you guys want that? Your body is not restricted to Ramadan. You're striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to Ramadan. And this act of fasting, sometimes, you know, all our other ibadah continue to some extent, but fasting we forget about. Right? But fasting can be done other times of the year as well, and it will increase your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do it other times of the year as well. So we should continue with this act of fasting. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, alayhi wa sallam, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُعْرَضُ الْأَعْمَالُ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَالْخَمِيسِ. Deeds are presented, meaning that the deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a Monday and on a Thursday. فَرَحِبُ أَنْ يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. And I love that my actions be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst I am in a state of fasting. And whilst I am fasting. So we learn something from Rasulullah as well, he learned something from everything that he does, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah didn't have sins. All his actions were beautiful. His actions were all the most beautiful. His actions can't be rivaled with beautiful. But still, when those actions were presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loved that he be in a state of ibadah. He loved that he be in a state of fasting. Such an action that can be done only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should make us consider that in our actions, our deficient actions, shouldn't we try and supplement those actions with other supererogatory and optional actions so that when they are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah can be pleased with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding that we constantly need to strive to please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever, to the extent that is within our capacity, to the best of our ability. Not overexerting ourselves, but to the best of our ability. And the next hadith teaches us that. And Abi Salih radiallahu anhu qal, سألت رحمة الله عليه سألت عائشة radiallahu anha wa Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Abu Salih says that I asked Aisha radiallahu anha and Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, أيُّ الْعَمَلِ كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Which action was the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qalata, both of them said, these were wise of Rasulullah, both of them said, ma deema alayhi wa in qalla. What was most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actions was that action which the person is consistent upon. That which is done consistently, wa in qalla, even if it's a little bit. Subhanallah wa ta'ala. Even that's a mercy. A mercy in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is done consistently, even though it be little. So in every intention, two rak'ah after that, that's going to be my little. But I'm going to do it consistently. And perhaps consistently doing that will grant me greater strength, greater zeal. And then I'll wait for, after a while, perhaps I'll increase after that, increase after that. But consistency is key. Consistency is key. عن يعلم بن مملك أنه سأل أبا سلمة عن قراءة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعلم بن مملك يعصد أم سلمة رضي الله عنها about the recitation of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإذا هي تنعط قراءة مفسرة حرفا حرفا. She explained it to be a recitation that was clear, distinct. The words could be understood separately and it was just clear, word for word. عن حسام بن أبي صالح عن قتادة رضي الله عنه عن قتادة قال ما بعث الله نبيا إلا حسن الوجه حسن الصوت. قتادة رضي الله عنه he says that Allah سبحانه وتعالى didn't ever send a messenger except حسن الوجه حسن الصوت, except that messenger or that prophet had a beautiful face and a beautiful voice. وكان نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم and your prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم حسن الوجه حسن الصوت. He had a most beautiful face and he had a most beautiful voice. Imagine the recitation of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Perhaps in Jannah we'll get to sit with him صلى الله عليه وسلم and hear him recite the Quran. Allah سبحانه وتعالى let me pray. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم had a beautiful face and a beautiful voice. وكان لا يرجح. But this hadith mentions that he also wouldn't recite like he was singing. He wouldn't sing the Quran. But he would recite it in a beautiful voice. So we can time is up. These hadith pertaining to the ibadah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be an inspiration for us. A window into who he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that we can get to know him a little bit more. We've learned about his relationship with people. How was his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He was like Abd, supreme. He was like the best Abd. He was also Abdullah, just like we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't say just like we are slaves of Allah. But in the fact that we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was also a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember what I said yesterday. Like Basharun, Lakin Basharun. Lakin ka yakuti bayan al-hajar. A man, but not like me. Like a ruby amongst pebbles. So, right? So he was an abd, like we are, ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he just showed us how to do it in the most beautiful way. I'm just doing this because I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just doing this because I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just doing this because, you know, that's how I express who I am as an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not just doing to show other people or to be known as generous or to be known as pious or any other reason. So we somehow even get the hint that Rasulullah wasn't just doing it for Jannah. He was doing it because he just wanted to show his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted to show his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that's something, I don't know, I don't think I can comprehend it because I don't even have a thought. But, we all smart and not as that. We constantly increase in our relationship with you. And it starts with, we all smart and not as the reality of our relationship with you. What it means to be an abd. What it means to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it means that my entire life is supposed to just be pleasing to my master. My loving and merciful master. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reality of it. Let us come to know Rasulullah in his relationship with people, in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to emulate someone. That we can also become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, that we also attain the love